Misimpression that was given to the jury in the penalty phase of this case about how to consider mitigating evidence. And the jury is supposed to be free to consider a wide range of mitigating evidence. The instructions, the verdict sheet, gave the impression to the jury that that was not the case, that they had to be unanimous. Mills is an older Supreme Court case from the 80s saying that doing that is unconstitutional. This court said 2 years ago that what happened in our penalty phase was a violation of Mills as well. That's it. Spisak was a case from last year where the Supreme Court denied Mills relief, but it's a very, very different case, very different facts, and that's why I believe that the law is really strongly on our side. Well, when the jury comes back with a verdict after a penalty phase about whether to in this case, it's whether to fine for life or a death sentence. They have a form that they fill out, and the form was misleading. That's essentially what this is about.
Judith, important question. In 2007, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals upheld Mills, and you argued it. Yes. Why did they uphold Mills then, and what is different about what's happened today following Spisak?
Right. It was 2008. They found that there was error here. They found that there was an unconstitutional way of presenting this to the jury. And today, there's really nothing that has changed that should change their minds about that. Nothing. That's it. And you know, just because the U.S. Supreme Court decided another case based on Mills, the Supreme Court probably, for practical reasons, said, "All right, let's see if the Third Circuit wants to reconsider." No reason to think that they would reconsider, because this is very, very different. And you know, just that's really—it's a pretty narrow issue, and that's what it is. If it gets a favorable ruling, if the government wants to seek a death sentence, they have to conduct a new penalty phase.
In the courtroom, we saw something that we hadn't seen in a long time. The prosecutor who prosecuted this case originally in 1981, Joe McGill, was in the house. Maureen Faulkner was also present. And the entire political apparatus of Philadelphia was present. This did not happen in 2007. This happened today because the political apparatus of Philadelphia is hell-bent on executing Mumia and winning on Mills, an issue that they lost in 2007. So they really brought out all of their guns today. This is essentially echoing what Suzanne said, the state wants to execute Mumia, and we need to tell the Third Circuit Court of Appeals that we are watching. What was disturbing as I sat in the courtroom today is the obsessiveness of the court with seemingly insignificant details. Semantics, exactly. Really, why has no court actually considered the totality of violations in this case, all of which are horrifically fraudulent? I wanted to ask McGill, sir, why was it that the fourth person at the scene of the crime, Kenneth Freeman, who was the killer of Officer Faulkner, why did he conceal that from Mumia's trial when he actually acknowledged it 2 weeks later in Billy Cook's trial? Why? Why isn't the courtroom looking at the photographs of Pedro Polakoff? Pedro Polakoff was the first person at the scene of the crime, and he took photographs. And those photographs demonstrate quite clearly how the police tampered with evidence, misheld the guns, moved the head around. Why? Because the cops and the prosecution had a theory of what happened, and they needed the crime scene to fit their theory of what happened. Why was it that the police didn't conduct the routine paraffin test, right? If they thought Mumia did it, Mumia's hands would have had the dust from the gun, from the gunpowder residue, right? So they should have conducted a test immediately if they were so certain that Mumia killed Officer Faulkner, but they didn't. This is something that the cops have been doing in the United States since time immemorial. This is not a new technology. This is a routine operation, but they failed to conduct that test. The media and the cops, after December 9th, 1981, on December 10th, reported that a .38 caliber gun killed Officer Faulkner. Well, at trial, you know what the medical examiner determined? Well, no, it wasn't a .38 caliber gun that killed Officer Faulkner. It was a .44 caliber gun. But Mumia had a .38 caliber gun. Somehow, the bullet was lost. Some important fragment of the bullet was later lost. Oh, really? So there are so many inconsistencies in this case. 40% of Philadelphia was African American at that time. Only one or two black jurors made it to the jury. And why is this important? This is important because the African American community has a very different experience with the cops. So when they get to the courtroom, they are not going to believe everything the cops say. That's not what white Americans experience, however, in their communities, in the suburbs. White Americans have a very, very different experience with the cops. So Mumia had the right to have people in his jury that knew firsthand that the cops cheat, that the cops lie, that the cops tamper with evidence in order to obtain a conviction. That's why a jury of your peers is so important in this country, and that's why it's a constitutional violation if you don't have a jury of your peers. So I'd like to ask the media, I'd like to ask the court, I'd like to ask the political apparatus in Philadelphia, why has no court listened to the totality of violations, civil rights and constitutional in this case?